Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you all. I am Apostle Christopher McQueen, and Prophetess Crystal is here. She's her voice is gone, if you will. So she's waving to everybody. Amen. And this is Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. We're excited about what God is doing for us and what God is doing through us. And I want you to know that this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We're freshly back from Toledo, Ohio, with the funeral of our son, Adrian. And it was powerful, moving service. We just want to say thank you all for those of you who had us in prayer, and the Henry family as well. We don't celebrate situations like this or anything, but we do want to always remember that God is always in control. Mm-hmm. And knowing that may not be what we want, but it's always what God sets up. And there were many souls that got saved as a result of the life that he lived and the example that he left. So he touched many, and we're just want to say thank you all that stood with us in prayer and upheld us. And excuse me, the Henry family as well. As we go forward, let me give you some announcements. Normally I would turn it over to Prophetess, but her voice is gone, and we give her rest today so she can be ready to go Thursday for prophetic atmosphere. Amen. Go to our website, www.ctkr.org. We pray that you learn more about us. When you're there, you can go to the media tab and actually hear our broadcast. I'm working at the current time to upgrade and update our website. So we'll be going through some transitions out of the format that it is now into the format that we'll have. It'll be more friendly, user-friendly, if you will. There's something that we really want to do and propagate through the website. Mm-hmm. So we want you to go there, learn more about us. More news is to come. Amen. We have ministries under our covering in Kenya, Uganda, Nigeria, Philippines, Pakistan, India, and they need your financial support. We have messages that come to us all the time from the different pastors and the bishops that we have over there, and from sound systems to chairs and other outreach equipment. I shared before that there's times when they need simply, with the orphanages and the schools, they feed the children during the day. And sometimes all they need is, with the orphanage, they need a cow, milking cow. Now, to us, we look at, we're going to send this with the church, we're going to do this and that. Well, listen, I don't want to buy a cow here in America, send it over to Africa for them to have a milking cow. We need to finance. We'll contact the people there who actually sell the cows and buy it for them in the region, and they'll take the cow to them. Or we release the finance to the ministry so that they can actually go purchase the milking cow. Amen. Mm-hmm. And you'll be a blessing in that way, helping us to be a blessing to them. When they go out into the different villages to evangelize and do what they do, they need sound system, portable sound systems. When I was in Africa, they basically operated the sound system off of a 12-volt car battery. And operating off that car battery, they had to recharge the battery and take it with them along with the sound equipment and try to use the sound equipment as long as the battery would power it. Well, we had a couple of generators, and the generators took a little fuel, and we were able to have service well into the night with the sound system. So those are things that we look at, and we need funding for those things, and we ask you to partner with us so that we can get the things that we need to go over and do the ministry that God has given us to do. In the future, near future, we'll be looking at making a trip over to Africa, and we'll be asking those of you who want to go to let us know so that you can actually see the work that is being done in Africa and on the continent. Amen. Evangelist Isaac Adeniyi constantly asks for Bibles and Christian teaching material, because there in Nigeria, he has a higher education facility, and he looks for those type of things that would help him to push the gospel forward. So we're praying with you, or we're praying that you will become a vision partner with us and help us to spread this gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. Join us on Tuesday night at 7 p.m. and also on Saturday morning at 10:30 a.m. for Kingdom Lifestyle broadcast. That'll be with myself, minister the Word of God, teach the Word of God. That I shared before, when we go out to minister, it's a different flow in the anointing. On the radio, we take time and teach out the precepts and the principles of God. If we're live there, you might get a little bit more. Amen. We enjoy celebrating Jesus Christ. Amen. But on Tuesday and Saturday morning, come and be with us, and while we go through the Word of God and learn and hear what the Spirit is saying to us. On Thursday night at 7 o'clock is Prophetess Crystal McQueen with Prophetic Atmosphere. And she's on giving to you what God has given her. And I tell you, she is a powerful woman of God. I'm so grateful that God blessed me with her to have her in my life. It has been a joy. Amen. And it is a joy to serve with her. Amen. So with those announcements in mind, let's go ahead and get into this word. But first, let's get it. Let's pray and then get into this word. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you and we praise you. We honor you. We glorify you, Lord. You're awesome in all that you do. Lord, I thank you because you have given us traveling mercies, Lord. You have helped us to traverse the highways and the byways. You brought us back safe, Lord. I thank you, Lord, because we were able to connect and reconnect with some, oh God, and you have opened up some doors for us. Lord, I thank you right now because you have us in mind and you have our well-being always before you. Lord, even as we look at this word tonight, we thank you, Lord, because this word is a revelatory word that will bring enlightenment, wholeness. It will bring us to a place of repentance. It will restructure and set us, Lord, so that we can go forward when we have gotten off of the track to do your will. Our focus has gotten off, Lord. We thank you, Lord, because you're calling us back into proper alignment with your will. So thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Lord, for being mindful of us, for not throwing us away, for not casting us away, but giving us a chance to get it right. So, Lord, as we go forward with this word, Lord, we speak right now wholeness. We speak healing. We speak deliverance. I thank you for every miracle. I thank you for every sign. I thank you for every wonder, Lord, that will take place because of this word that's being ministered to your people. Have your way in our lives, Lord. Have your way, oh God, even in this teaching. Open up our minds and our ears, Lord. Open up our eyes that we see, that we hear, that we comprehend and understand what you are saying to us and what you are talking and speaking to us. The revelation knowledge will come to us and we'll comprehend it and use it to build the kingdom and go forward to accomplish the assignments you have given us. In the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Lord, you are my strength and you are my redeemer. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen and amen. Tonight, we want to continue on in teaching in Hebrews. We've been in Hebrews, the 12th chapter. And those of you who have followed the broadcast, you know that we have gone back to different themes and different things that the Holy Spirit has said to us. We've been dealing with revival. We've been dealing with identity. We have been dealing with the perfect will of God, the purpose of God. And those are things that we will continue to go forward and deal with. See, the thing is that the message doesn't change. We may go forward in dealing with the message. We may change the passage of scripture, but it still comes down to the same thing, and that is that God is speaking to us concerning the process and the preparation for fulfilling the will of God. Everything that happens in our life happens because it is God's plan, purpose, and will for us. As I said before, our son Adrian, we began raising him in seventh grade along with our natural son. Bring some clarity to this. Our natural son, Rayshawn, is our only birth child. You know, he's the only birth child. But the Lord has given us spiritual sons and daughters that we have taken under our wing and raised them and moved them on and helped them to accomplish something in their lives. And when something happens concerning them, it is as if something happened to Rayshawn. Amen. So when we deal with them, then it is very personal. Amen. When things happen. So when we went back, we back to Ohio. One of the first places where we stopped, we dealt with a mother. And I remember very well when we first started dealing with the family, her son was coming to the church, and he was praying concerning his mother. She was living an alternative lifestyle, had a girlfriend who stayed in the house with her, and he was praying and crying out to God concerning his mother. And we began to pray and intercede, we just began to love on her and share with her the word of God and go forward. And I think prophetess can probably say pretty loudly enough for you to hear. One of the things that was, I guess you could say, encouraging is when we went back, she had, before we left, she was delivered, began to come to the church, delivered from homosexuality, amen, and began to date men, and then got married to a man, amen, and began to go forward and live her life, and the Lord began to do a mighty work in that family. That young lady, as we went back and we began to talk to her and her son, and different ones, she's still married. And living the life. And she's one of those people who said, you know, your ministry directly affected me, you know, and whatever we can do to push the ministry, we're going to do it. It is those type of times and those type of testimonies that we look for, because it goes back to what I'm saying about the assignment. When God gives you an assignment, it may not look like the easiest thing. Sometimes the assignment that God gives you is not the thing that you want to deal with. It'll deal with issues. And let me say this, it crosses political lines, it crosses politically correct lines. Amen. And I'm not going to debate one way or the other whether or not you were born or created like that. Amen. I'm just going to tell you that if she was delivered and her mind was set free, she began to live the life that she wanted to live in a proper relationship. That is the relationship between the man and the woman as God designed it from the very beginning. Amen. And as she did so, then the rest of her life began to come back into balance. She's living that life today. And even though everything may not be perfect, everything is progressing towards the way that it should go. And I think that is something that we need to look at and understand, because we try to make things political when it's spiritual. Amen. She started out heterosexual and was hurt and went to homosexuality. Dealing with the hurt, amen, and the healing there allowed her to let go of that and come right back to a heterosexual lifestyle, amen. So we have a saying, same sex, same problems, amen. So running away from one gender to another doesn't solve a problem. Sometimes it creates other problems. You have to go against the natural use, amen, and natural purpose of how you were made to be something that you weren't, amen. That's all I'm going to say there, amen. The purpose that God gives us leads us then into situations to deal with hard issues or hard circumstances. And as we deal with those things, then we find out that God is always wiser than us. The thing is, you go through some situations in your life, not just for you. Sometimes what you just went through has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with God's will, God's plan, God's purpose for your life. As my wife and I began to conversate back and forth as we went up and as we came back from Ohio, 17 hours each direction, we began to share with each other some of the things that we had seen and some of the situations that we have gone through. And as we begin to speak about it, it is very clear and evident that the things that we went through were not necessarily for us, but they were positioning for the will of God, for the plan of God, because we would not have dealt with certain types of people or certain individuals had we not had to go down certain roads. Amen. And some of you are fighting the will and the purpose and the plan of God because you don't want to deal with whatever it is you feel is beyond you. So you try to stay in your comfort zone. You refuse to be challenged into change. You refuse to be challenged into progression and into conformity with the will of God because it doesn't fit what you really want in your life or what you really feel you are worth or anything else. We have a contingency now of those who are ministry who have a higher esteem for themselves than they actually do for the will of God. Because if the will of God would lead them into a place where they feel is beneath them, they won't go. Amen? And God is trying to get us to conform and move according to his will. Amen? So as we begin to look at this word, then we have to understand what God is saying. Let's look here in Hebrews, the 12th verse. Let's go down to 22nd verse and read from there. It says, but you have come to the Mount, you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. You see that? To the spirits of just men made perfect. Huh? To Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now has promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also heaven. This yet once more indicates the removal of those things which are being shaken. Mm-hmm. As of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Now, in reading this, there's a number of things that we can take here and we can go any direction with. But in keeping with what we're dealing with and what we're saying here, we have to understand that God is calling us back to repentance, back to a foundation of holiness. We have to get back to looking at the assignment that God has given us and walking out the assignment. Amen. I'm talked about the fact that our son Adrian had gone on to be with the Lord. And the thing is that as we begin to look, Adrian lived such a full life within 24 years. Mm-hmm. That some people are afraid to get out your comfort zone. And his comfort zone was going forward and doing everything that he could. He had a dream to go out and be a professional musician and to travel and to see the world. And the young man went out and was a professional musician traveling and playing with some of the greats. At the age of 24, when the Lord took him, you know, he had already touched so many different lives. Now, he wasn't preaching the gospel. He wasn't in a pulpit. When we first started Christ the King, he was one of our first musicians. Those of you who have seen us around the country know that when we travel, it would be myself. I would be on the keys or organ, and my son Rayshawn would be on the drums, and my son Adrian would be on the bass. Amen. Mm-hmm. And then Adrian would get on the drums, and my son Ray Sean would get on the keys or the organ when I would get up to minister and preach. Amen. So he traveled with me, and he ministered with me. He never picked up the microphone and said, turn with me, if you will. We're going in the Word of God. Yet and still, he touched so many lives because of his dedication and his character for what he did. Amen. To see him was really I'm looking for the word that I want to use. It's hard to believe that someone so full of life could go on to glory. Amen. But yet and still, he did. Now, why am I making mention of that at all? I'm making mention of it because when we begin to deal with the will, the purpose, the plan of God, you have to understand there are two things that you have to always remember. God has, number one, God has a plan and assignment for you. Number two, you don't know when your time to fulfill that assignment is up. Amen? Look what it says here in Hebrews 12 and 22. It says, but you have come to the Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, to the spirit of just men made perfect, to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the sprinkling, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. So then that means when we're looking at this, that when we come, we have witnesses to the will, the purpose, the plan of God that should be pursued, sought after, and completed. We shared before John the 4th chapter and the 34th verse, which simply says these words. It's Jesus is speaking, and he said, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. So that means that when we begin to look at this great crowd of witnesses, what they're looking at is looking at, are you attempting or are you pursuing the time? You see that? So when he begins to speak to you, the Holy Spirit begins to speak to you, he speaks to you concerning the will of God and your fulfillment of the will of God. Amen? We should always be seeking to fulfill the will of God in our lives. See, when we are seeking to fulfill the will of God, then God can send people along to help us along the way. Amen? Those who will encourage us in our transition, encourage us as we go down the path, amen? And we have to understand that when we do this, then God will use them to strengthen them, but their work, their presence, their activity will strengthen and encourage us as well, amen? So, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven. Now, we don't have to wait till we get over there to do the work of over there. We are supposed to be doing the work here. But your name is already registered in heaven. You understand? See, let me go back to the trip. We left from Florida going to Ohio. But before we left from Florida to go to Ohio, I had already called and set ourselves up in the hotel. We were registered at the hotel before we even left Florida. When we got to Ohio, they checked for our name on the registry. Hello, somebody. And the same thing with our spiritual assignment and who God called us to be. You as a citizen of heaven, you have to understand that your name is registered already. And even before you get there, your name needs to be signed. Amen? Now, My name being signed means nothing if I don't make it to where the registry is. Somebody's going to hear this. You'll catch it in the parking lot. If on the fine print where we signed before we paid, amen, for the room, it said, listen, check-in time is at this date, at this time. And if you miss the first 24 hours for your check-in, you forfeit the rest of the payment, and you are not registered anymore. But hold on, I paid a nice little penny to stay in the hotel room that I'm going to be in because, you know, that's what I did. So I paid for a suite and they took the money up front. What do you mean that I don't get a refund and I don't have a registration set now? If you miss your timing, you forfeit your registration. I looked at that and said, wow. Now, let me show you how that works. When we leave from Florida, if something should happen, they offer what's called insurance, amen, which means that if travel insurance, which means if something happened, the car breaks down. We have other difficulties. Making it to the registration, they will hold the registration, but we have to make or we have to set that in place before we even go. Amen. Now, let me show you where I'm going with all of this. Here we are. We've been given an assignment to complete in the earth. It is our purpose for existing. And some people feel that they have all the time in the world to complete that assignment. Huh? You have paid certain prices, but you have not secured your travel with insurance, which means that you know that you have a gift, you know you have a talent, you have an ability, amen, but you have not dedicated it to the one who gave you the gift, the talent, and the ability. Gifts come without repentance. So just knowing that you have a gift is not enough to secure the registration. You understand? So when you begin to look at it, there are certain things that you have to do to secure the registration. That means that when you recognize and realize that the gift came from God, and then you turn around and say, Jesus, come into my life, and I will serve you and forgive me of my sins. Apply the blood to me and the efficacious properties of that blood to my life and to my sins and to myself. Then I know that at that point, then I'm getting insurance. Regardless of what happens in my life, I know that I'm going to make it. Amen. When I get to the end, I don't have to worry about whether or not my registration will be honored because I secured it. Mm-hmm. You understand? And that's where we have to look at it. So as we get there, my name is registered in heaven, but I have to make sure that my that registry is secured. How do I secure it? I become not just a saint, gave the Christian my hand, or the pastor my hand, but I'll actually live the life. Amen. See, there's a lot of people who at a young age make the decision to give the preacher their hand, amen, if you will, and make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you know, welcome into the fellowship of Christian believers. But then, you know, your lifestyle has to begin to change to mirror that, amen. And with that comes, with that membership comes a responsibility to fulfill the will God has given you. You're not just here to exist. You're here to live. I saw something that somebody put on a social media site, and they said, listen, with all your running, with all your pursuing, with all your doing, and all your getting, don't forget to live. Huh? And that is in our life. The life of a Christian is one who's pursuing, who's getting, who's doing. God didn't call us to just do that. God called us to live. Huh? Look and live. My brother, live. Look to Jesus now and live. Huh? So So as we look and live, I'm seeing everything, but I'm living a life that affords me some good things. Amen. I'm enjoying now the fruits of some labors that we have labored over. Amen. There's some things that we're waiting on God to finish and complete, and there's some things that we know are coming in our future. Thank God for wisdom to understand that I don't have to have everything now, but I do have to have everything on the horizon. It lets me know that it is coming my way, even though it's not here, I can see it coming. That means that I can prepare myself for its arrival. Amen? So when we begin to look at all of this, we begin to see that God has some things for us. Amen. God has some things that he has set for us, and we have to prepare ourselves for it, knowing that God's will for our life is the focal point of our existence. Amen. Look at all this here. It says, he says, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. That means that as you go forward, your justification is by Christ. Amen. You don't have the ability or the means or the resources to make yourself just. Amen. But it is through the Spirit of God that you have been justified, amen, that is your salvation, and then you have been perfected. That is by the working of the Holy Spirit in you, amen? Mm-hmm. Huh? To Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, he is the seal, and he is the guarantee of all that we're saying. It is by his blood that the covenant is empowered and enacted, amen? To the blood of sprinkling that speaks of better things than that of Abel. Amen. So see that you do not refuse him who speaks. Out of all of those witnesses and everything that's going on, God is still speaking. And I think we were sharing on the way up, there was a person who would do Bible study and would always want us to come over. And they would just go verse to verse trying to understand what the scripture was. So they would say something, and as we hear them, we would say, listen, that's not what the scripture means. If you look at it and we properly exegete this passage, you'll see that these words here, this word that you're looking at in the original translation means X, Y, and Z. And you'll see that same thing is spoken here and is spoken here. So that line upon line, precept upon precept, every word is established. And they will turn around and see it and then turn around and say, well, what I feel it means is. Mm-hmm. And see, that's the problem that we have today. When God is speaking to us, we have too many people who hear what God is saying but still have the audacity to say, well, you know, this is what I feel he's saying. The reason why you feel that you can put an interpretation on the will of God and on the word of God so that it fits what you are comfortable doing and what you like is because you're being able to do that when it comes down to natural situations like that. Amen? Mm-hmm. It's amazing to see, and I was having this discussion with a family member while we were in Ohio, and it was basically comes down to, you know, when we grew up, there was no discussion with mom and dad about what we felt. Mom said, do the dishes. You didn't say, okay, I'm going to get to it. You got up and did the dishes. Nothing was more important than what mama said right now. Amen, somebody. But nowadays, children have the ability, or children have been afforded the ability to articulate an argument about when they feel they need to get up to actually address what's being said. So while they're doing that, what they're doing is they're saying, Mama, you don't have authority in my life to make me move outside of when I feel like moving. And the problem with that is that, or daddy, or whoever the authority figure is in your life, the problem with that is that you bring that same mentality to God. And God is not like your mother. God is not like your father. He's not like your guardian. When God speaks and says, move, brother, sister, it's time to move. Amen. And when you understand that, then you'll go ahead and move. Now, this is difficult for some people to grasp because in your life, you may have ran your family. You may have been the one who caused everybody to jump, scream, holler. When you got upset, everything moved to make you happy. And then you feel that that's the way that life really is. Well, it may be how your life was. But in kingdom, God is sovereign. Amen? When God speaks, everything stops. And then everything responds according to the will and the word of God. Amen? And when we learn how to do that, then we'll stop refusing God. Well, I didn't refuse him. God said move, and you say, I don't feel like it. Was that a refusal? God said go and do X, Y, and Z. And you say, I don't feel like doing X, Y, and Z. Why don't I do A, B, and C? Was that a refusal? See, we have taken disobedience in those things, and we have made them to be something that, oh, well, I wasn't really refusing. I was just saying, well, I don't see any place where your finite mind can outthink the wisdom of an infinite God. And when we stop trying to outdo God, then we'll find out that things that he called us to do will position us quicker into the things that we would love to have. Amen? See, God doesn't want you to get to a place where you don't have anything in life that is enjoyable. God is trying to get you to those things, but he understands that if you don't get it with the proper mindset, those things will become a snare and a trap to you. They'll lead you away from God. Amen? So God allows you, when you begin to look, he begins to order your steps, and it orders you into maturity so that when you arrive at certain places and certain points of your life, you can enjoy it, but you'll be able to maintain it. Amen? The joy is not in obtaining it. The joy is in maintaining it. You understand what I'm saying? Because some people, listen, if I had enough money to go out and get a new Maserati or something, but I didn't have the money to maintain it, then it's no joy. Now I'm full of regrets because I had but couldn't keep. And what God does is he says, listen, I know it's your desire to possess, but before I give it to you, I have to change your heart, change your mind, help you to mature so that when you get it, you can maintain it. People don't want to go through the process. So they run out to try to get it without the process of maturing. Amen. So you get it, but now you can't do nothing with it. Help us, Lord. God is speaking. God is still speaking. God will continue to speak. The question here is, are you listening? Now, why is it important what God is saying? Well, let's read on here. 12 and 25. Hebrews 12, 25. See that you do not refuse him who speaks, for if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. What God is speaking is concerning your destiny and your future. And we have people that we deal with. One of our members, we was talking to them at one point, and we said, you know what God wants to say to you and what you really will accept God saying is two different things. So God won't tell you but all that you're ready to hear. And let me say that to some of you now, because God wants to speak to you, but you're not ready to hear what God is saying, because you won't be obedient to what God is saying, trying to find an alternative to what God is saying. So God is silent. You keep going to service. You keep trying to find somebody who's going to speak the words you want to hear. And guess what? Anyone who's going to speak concerning God's will and plan for your life can't say anything other than what God is saying. Look at Balaam. Balaam goes to Balak because he's paid to do so to curse the children of Israel. And after receiving the dowries and everything and the treasures that he's going to get he's promised, he begins to stand up to speak the curses against. It ends up blessing them instead. Mm-hmm. What does he say? Whom God has blessed, no man can curse. Mm-hmm. Well, let's go to another location. Maybe that was just a bad mountain for us to be on. Guess what? I don't care where you go. The word of God is the word of God. Amen? Yes. So when God begins to speak concerning your life, concerning his plan for your life, I don't care what church you go to. I don't care what denomination you're a part of. You know, you'll be in the middle of the street. My wife was telling a story on her broadcast where we was up at Abyssinia Christ-Centered Ministries with one of our spiritual coverings, our spiritual mother, Bishop Iona Locke. And Bishop Locke began to say, because you really receive the word of God if it didn't come from a source that you wanted. She said, some of y'all can't receive what God is saying because it didn't come through it didn't come from the place you wanted it to come. The person who spoke to you didn't look like you wanted them to look. So you scrutinize the word. How they going to talk to me and give me the word of God? And they look like, guess what? Don't get caught up in the look like contest. Amen. Huh? How many people looked at John the Baptist because he wasn't dressed like the scribes and Pharisees and the high priest that day? Looked at him because he was dressed in woolly clothes and ate locusts and honey. He looked like a wild man. He didn't look like a man of God, but yet and still he was the forerunner of Christ. See? So she began to say, can you really receive the word if it comes from another source other than those who try to project themselves to be super holy? We left and we went to Ram's Horn, a restaurant in Detroit, on the way. And we stopped there to get something to eat. And while we were getting something to eat, there was a homeless lady who came in and was going around to different tables trying to get people to give her something to eat or, you know, pay for her meal or something. And I remember she was going around and she came to our table and sat down and began to share with us what we had been praying and what God was saying concerning the answer to it. Mm-hmm. And she was dead on. Mm-hmm. Huh? And when I heard it, you know, I looked at it and was like, wow. But reality is, God is speaking. And God is speaking through whomever will allow him to speak. You see that? So when we start this, we have to understand that there are those who have allowed themselves to be used by God. Oh, let me finish that one. Because we got up afterwards and I think I paid for her food and everything. And she went out the door just in front of us. We walked out the door and looked and could not find that woman nowhere. It was like she walked out the door and was not. Am I telling the truth? Huh? So she was direct and dead on. But she didn't look like she had anything to do with God. Huh? So you have to understand that when people accept the assignment, regardless of how they look, if this is what God is using, what God is saying to speak to us, we got to hear it. Amen? Huh? Let me continue on here. This scripture, Hebrews 13:1. No. Well, let's read 1-2 because it's just forward here. It says, let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels. I think that was an angel. You just heard the word. Can you respond to the word? Or does it go against your better judgment, your carnal judgment? Huh? So when God speaks, can you hear him regardless of what rapper it's in? Help us today, Jesus. Our son didn't look like the rapper that people would hear from. Yet and still, it was interesting. We took a picture of the different people who were there, all the musicians, the Toledo musicians, we called it. And within that crowd of Toledo musicians, was myself, Apostle McQueen, and two bishops, Bishop Shears and Bishop Parker, along with a number of others. His father, Gordon Henry, belongs to Bountiful Blessings in Toledo, Ohio. Bishop Rance Allen, who is another musician in Toledo. Isn't that interesting that there were so many bishops and pastors and apostles as well as others in the congregation at the funeral to speak concerning this young man and his life? See, God speaks, but we have to hear regardless of the rapper that it came in. Amen? Why is he speaking? He's shaking things. You see this? And what is he shaking? He's shaking those things that are temporal. As of things that are made. In other words, your man-made mindset of the will of God, it's being shaken by those things which do not, that cannot be shaken. The word of God remains the same. Okay. I see this. We looked at this before, amen. You heard me say it before. Matthew, the 7th chapter, and starting at the 21st verse. Knowing the correct password, saying master, master, for instance, isn't going to get you anywhere with me. What is required is serious obedience. When we talk about pursuing your God-given assignment, we're talking about obedience, serious obedience to the plan, purpose, and will of God. Amen. And when God gives you an assignment and you begin to pursue it, then you may not always look properly like everybody wants you to look. When we begin to look in the Old Testament at some of the prophets and how they actually looked and responded, people looked at them and talked about them because they thought they were crazy because of how they projected themselves and how they carried themselves at times. Amen. When we look at Jeremiah, amen, for example, and how he used to do things and he carried around the yoke around his neck. He didn't look like everybody else. Every time you went around him, he was carrying a yoke. Could the man hear from God? Yes. Did God speak to him? Yes. Did every word he speak, nothing fell to the ground? Yes. See, if we saw somebody like that today, we'd be trying to put them away and talk about them, discredit their ability. because it doesn't fit what we have projected, our man-made image of what really God is showing us. And look, well, I think that if God's going to speak, that they should have on a suit, and they should look this way, and they should be this way, and they should be... Wait a minute, hold on. When did God ever put perimeters around who speaks his word and who's integral or not? Huh? See, we have set up those things, but God never set those things up. So when we have people who know the correct password, we think that they have arrived and they know it. But guess what? The word right here saying knowing the correct password, amen, saying master, master, for instance, isn't going to get you anywhere with me. What is required is serious obedience. What is that? Doing what my Father wills. Then Jesus goes on and says these words, I can see it now at the final judgment. Fouls is strutting up to me saying, master, we preach the message. We bash the demons. Our God sponsored that project had everyone talking. And do you know what I'm going to say? You missed the boat. My brother and sister, God is calling us back to full repentance. But we got to get past this image of looking right and get into the heart. Huh? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And guess what? If there's going to be a change within you, it has outside of you, it has to happen within you first. Mm-hmm. See, I can hold my breath forever, I would think. Well, eventually, huh, I'm coming up for air because I really can't hold my breath forever. Huh? Either it's a real change, genuine, or it is a facade that will soon fall away. And God is trying to get us to a place where we live the life. There's too many misrepresentations of Jesus Christ in the earth.
Mm-hmm.
People trying to get rich off the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
People hearing that and thinking that if the more money I give, the better off I'll be. It'll help me get down the road. Guess what? It's not going to help you get down the road. Amen? Not like that. See, you can give, and when you give to the poor, you lend to God. That's scripture all by itself. Huh? And it's very clear. When you give to the poor, you lend to God, and he shall repay. That's the word. Amen? So, when we ask you to help us to for those who are poor over in Africa and who need help, you're not sowing into us to get something back. You're lending to God. When I use that same approach so that you give to me and it's going to improve your life, I'm trying to get you to see something that God never projected. God never told me to give to you to get his blessing. So God is trying to bring us back to foundational truth so that we can walk according to his will. Get our focus off of men and women and get our focus back on the assignment that God created us for. It is his will, serious obedience to the will of God, doing what my Father wills that he's looking for. Amen. Come on, let's pray. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this word. We thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to minister to your people. Even now, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, to focus on what is your will for our lives. We've gotten off focus. We've been looking at any and everything, Lord. But right now, Lord, you're trying to get us back to the place where we look at you and we see you. Lord, we open up our eyes. Will you open up our ears? Will you loose our tongues, Lord, so that we can speak your precepts, your decrees, your mandates in the earth with boldness, that holy boldness that the apostles demonstrated, even under threat of death. Help us, Lord, to do it now in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, I pray for those who are not saved, that they would pray this prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray that you will forgive us of our sins. We believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Thank you, Father, for salvation. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Lord, if they praise that prayer, lead them to a Bible teaching, a Bible believing church where they can be mature and go on to do the work that you've given them to do. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Listen, go to our website, www.ctkr. There you'll learn more about us. I pray that you become a vision partner with us. People are waiting for your response, and we're waiting for you as well. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, reminding you it is God's will for you to live the kingdom lifestyle. Be blessed in the name of the Lord.